Where do you see this all heading?
I think the first thing would be, can we take everyone who's ever done work in predictive modeling for anthracyclines, taxanes, you know, sort of existing drugs, and come up with a paradigm for actually treating patients according to a profile and limiting chemotherapy? You know, so we have this tendency to keep adding drugs and adding drugs and adding drugs. And I think we are now at the point where we can get smarter about giving less therapy as opposed to more. And so my first thought is, it is a very hard sell to get people to not give an anthracycline or not give a taxane, to use just a biologic, for example. We have no studies right now that involve trastuzumab without any chemotherapy. Wouldn't it be nice to not give chemotherapy to some of these people? And I'm not aware of any particularly compelling data that says you have to have the chemo on board for the lower risk HER2-positive breast cancers, particularly those that are also ER-positive. We also don't know how to use, if the neoadjuvant setting tells us, and I have to say, Jenny had made a comment about B27 and how it called into question the relationship between PathCR and outcome. I have to say, I disagree with that assessment. I agree with her that that's how B27 has been interpreted, but I disagree with that interpretation. If we do recognize that response to therapy is relevant for outcome, is there a way of designing trials so that you predicate further therapy on whether or not they responded to the last one? So for example, the MD Anderson and I think it was Gustave Roussy in France, there was a collaborative effort that came out where they tried to develop nomograms predicting response to neoadjuvant therapy. And they came up with some nomograms and they were pretty good. They weren't great, but they were pretty good. And then they tried to apply them to a model which included additional drugs like taxanes. And they worked in some settings. It didn't work in others. And the reality was that when you added a new drug, there was only a group of patients that seemed to respond that got additional benefit. And it wasn't the ones that weren't responding at all. It was the ones that had sort of responded to the first set of drugs but gained all of the benefit in later drugs. And I think specifically adding taxanes to anthracyclines. And I think B27 also saw that the subset analysis suggested that additional therapy seemed to be primarily limited in its efficacy to those groups of tumors that it had sort of a PR, you know, only a partial response to the initial therapy. And how do we get smarter about giving drugs if we're finding that some tumors are insensitive to cytotoxic chemotherapy? Then maybe we should go directly to something more novel in them. If we find, on the other hand, that some are only partially sensitive, can we predicate the number of cycles that we use or the addition of non-cross-resistant drugs to those where you're getting some response but not enough? And the last group is, if you get a complete response after two cycles of AC, maybe you can call it a day right there and not give additional therapy. So those would be the big ticket questions that I would love to see answered.
So Jenny, you have a very, very grateful Texas oil family because you've taken care of their mom so well and wants to give you a couple $100 million to do whatever you want with in terms of breast cancer research. What would you do?
Two major broad themes. One is, I believe we're going to come to a point when we will be able to find the individual pathways that drive individual cancers. So the most rational thing is we do away with chemotherapy and select the pathways that affect individual cancers and just block it, siRNA. But we should start with things like what we have, the HER2 pathway, the ER pathway, and angiogenesis, and see whether or not we can design a study that can actually do away with chemotherapy. Because no woman likes to lose their hair and feel sick and vomit all the time for 3 to 4 months. So that's one thing which I would love to be able to do. And I think we're not that far off, and I believe in Lisa and my lifetime, we're going to be able to see that. And the second thing which Lisa touched on is to be able to better, more intelligently predict who would respond, not only to chemotherapy and endocrine therapies, but also to targeted therapies.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to our speakers, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for Breast Cancer Update.